tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by the High Kings. Oh, morning, guys. Yeah. How's it going? Good, and thanks. It's a sort of a new look on the High Kings, at least 25% of the High Kings. Darren, do you want to introduce the newbie on the block?
Well, the newbie on the block is the little babby.
Come on, baby.
George Murphy. George has been a great friend of ours for many, many years. And recently, Martin left us. Mm-hmm. And immediately, we all thought of George. He very kindly accepted our offer to come on the road with us and do these upcoming dates. And we're having a great time. And we hope George is having a great time.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a no-brainer for me, Fran, you know. When Martin left and the lads were in search of a new 25%, if you will. it was an absolute pleasure to be considered and to be out on the road with them now, especially at such an exciting time for the band. They're celebrating 10 years together, celebrating it. Yeah. A new album and doing lots of tours like they've always been doing, and it's just a marvellous thing to be a part of.
Of course, lots of people remember you from the Eurostar all those years ago. I'm singing the ballad.
I'm at it about 10 years myself now, so I don't like this baby stigma. You know?
Very good. What is it like to go from the solo performer in with an established act like the Kings?
I was kind of touching on this point yesterday. I kind of feel like everyone in the band is a little bit of a soloist in their own right as well.
True. Good point, yeah.
Everyone's a strong singer and performer, and I think what makes the High Kings kind of a little bit special and a cut above the rest is that it's the coming together of these kind of four soloists to make a band and to become a band and to share ideas and create songs and bring something new to the table for these songs that have been done a million times before. In order to bring them to the table and make them fresh again, you have to do something new, and I think the lads have done that greatly for 10 years, and it's amazing to be a part of it now, you know.
So Finbar, 10 years, can you believe, can I get you to come a little closer?
Yes, absolutely. But
can you believe it's 10 years?
It seems the quickest 10 years of my life. They say time flies when you're having fun, and you never work if you do something you enjoy for a living, which has been the case. But we're very excited to be launching, have launched the album Decade, and it's done very well. It went straight to number one in the independent Irish album charts. We have a big tour planned, probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years of touring all over the world. But we're starting off, of course, in Ireland. And we'll be touring until the end. We're starting on the 8th of December in Darren's hometown of Mooncoyne, County Kilkenny.
A wild one. A wild night.
Oh, it'll be a wild night, and it's sold out in record time, so it's going to be absolutely guaranteed to be one hell of a night. And we're continue to tour all over, and we're in Hayes' Hotel in Thurles on the 1st, ringing in the new year, on the 1st of January. So we're looking forward. That'll be another fantastic night, and we're playing all over the place until the end of January, and then the rest.
Very good. And we have a fantastic prize in relation to that gig as well that we'll tell everybody about in just a little while. Is it fair to say, Brian, it began with that PBS television show in the States, didn't it?
Yeah, I think the plan was to kind of put the band out to the States, and we were kind of looking at what was going on with PBS at the time, and it was kind of time to put out a new Irish band on the scene. And the four of us got together, and the magic was there. Obviously, we were putting these old songs and giving them a new feel and a new sound, and we created a High King sound and pushed it out to the States. I mean, it was great for the first couple of years. We had the DVD out of it, we had the CD out of it, and we had seven musicians with us as well. And it just got a little bit tough when the recession kicked in, and trying to keep everybody on the road between flights and hotels and all of that. So we decided to get into another rehearsal room and picked up the instruments ourselves and literally made the band as you hear it now, and going from strength to strength. And yeah, that's basically where we're at. But you know, the Americans just love what we do, and every time we head over there, we get sold out houses everywhere we go, and it's going from strength to strength. And we started off in small clubs and then went up to theater sizes, and now we're doing the Performance Arts Center. So you know, every year we were building, and the same people were coming back to see us, and they were bringing another 20 people with them. So that's how it grew.
And that's the way, and that's a very solid way to do
it. it's very rock and roll. It's kind of the old way of just get in the van, get on with it, do the 200 people, get up to the 400, get up to the 800, do, you know, that's what we did. And that's why we've spent so much time on the road and trying to make this thing happen.
So speaking of rock and roll, I mean, you all come from different backgrounds. Certainly yours was rock and roll largely, wasn't it, Darren? Did you ever worry about the whole business of putting a band together, singing ballads, essentially, you know?
Well, I've never really shied away from a challenge. I mean, I've done many different genres, from country and Irish to rock and roll to ballads and all in between. But I was coming directly from playing rock and roll on Broadway with Billy Joel and all that kind of stuff. But I always wanted to do Irish ballads again. It was the music that my mum and dad brought me up on for many years. So I was always kind of looking for an opportunity to get into that. And it just felt like the timing was right. Brian and I had worked together in Riverdance, but we had not been in contact for maybe a couple of years. And I got a call out of the blue. I was living in the States, and we just started chatting. And it was almost like preordained. A couple of months later, I get another call from Brian saying that there was whispers of this new group, and both their names were involved. And so, it just kind of felt it was the right time. The idea was sold to me very, very well. I believed that it was a thing that could definitely happen. And it had been many years since there was a kind of a big ballad group. And of course, we were hopeful that we were going to be big. We were never certain it was going to take off as well as it did and as last as long as it has. And we always say it's down to the fans and the people who like to hear this music and the people who play this music, like yourself.
Fantastic. And I'm following on Facebook what you do. Some of the venues are fantastic. I mean, let's boast a little. I mean, some of the places that you played, really outstanding, you know?
They really are. I mean, we were looking back on 10 years and it's, you know, there's a lot of highlights there from playing, you know, in the White House to President Barack Obama, to go into the Pentagon, to going to Oriston, playing for Michael D., to probably the pinnacle for me is participating in the 1916 centenary program.
That must have been very special.
It was very special to be asked by the national station to participate in such a epic story, telling the stories of 1916. That was a big thing. We have played in a lot of prestigious venues throughout the world, and we hope to make it to Carnegie Hall one day as well. That'll be the big one. Yeah.
And I'm sure you will, no problem at all.
Practice.
You're going to do a track live for us. What are you going to do?
We're going to do the Rocky Road to Dublin, which is the first track of Decade, the best of the High Kings.
That's it, yeah.
Out now.
In the merry month of June, from me home I started, left the girls in tune, nearly broken, had a saluted Father Dear. Kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn, leave where I was born, cut the stuff like thorn to banish ghosts, and gobbles a brand new pair of brogues, rattling all the butts, frightening all the dogs, on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack for Lallygra. In Mullingar that night I rested, limbs so weary, started by daylight, me spirits bright and airy, took a drop of the pure. Hang my heart from singing, that's the body's cure, whenever he's on for drinking, to see the lassie smile, laughing all the while, that me curious style would set your heart a bubble and ask the fire was hard, big desire required, till I was nearly tired of the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Up the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack for Lallygra. In Dublin next to ride a frog, such a beautiful piece of soon to play the few along, and say we'll get a total stroll. All among my quality bundle, it'll stroll away in a heap of galloping, something cross me mind. When I look behind the bundle, could I find a bomb to sing for one? I fired a thought of all, set my collar through, there wasn't much in vogue, and the rocky road to Dublin, round the dream of pride. Up the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, back the lolly round. From there I got to weave your spirits, never failing, landed on the quay, just as the ship was sailing, the captain and me rowed. Set the door of Maddie when they jumped aboard, the cabin found for Buddy. Down among the fish, played some body race, and danced some Marty Jakes, the water round me bubbling, and a volley hit. I wish myself a tail, a better fire to see. On the rocky road to Dublin, one to take a fire, on the air and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack the lolly round. Yeah, the boys of Liverpool, when we safely landed, call myself a fool, I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was losing, poor old Aaron's eye, they began abusing our episodes as actually the end of fright. Call the boys from I, and so I was a-hobbling with an honorary, trying to be a brave.
to double and whack for lolly row.
Whack for lolly row. Whack for lolly row.
Hey. Woo. Wow, the energy. This little room is enabled for this.
Neither are we.
Let's tell our listeners, we've got a fantastic giveaway because, as you say, you are playing Hayes' Hotel in Thurles on January the 1st. And we have, as Paddy said, the golden tickets to give away. We have two tickets and it's inclusive of a meet and greet with the band, tickets to the gig, obviously, and indeed some merchandise as well. And I presume that the new album just might be in that prize pack as well. So it's fantastic. Tell us about what else is on the album, because a lot of old favourites on there, Brian.
Yeah, I suppose in a way we kind of, what we like to do over the tours as well when we're in America and stuff, we usually put out a thing on Facebook that would say, you know, our next show will be a request show, and we see what comes in, and people like to hear different types of songs. There's so many songs there in, I'd say there's probably about 80 or odd songs there that we would have. We do a 26 song normally in our set list, so we just kind of ask them. So that's exactly what we do with the album too. We kind of just had a look through Spotify, we had a look through iTunes, we see what the most popular songs were at the time, and there was a few songs there that we hadn't got recorded, like The Town I Love So Well.
Sure.
And I suppose The Rare Old Times is in there. Irish Pub Song was done a few years back but never got onto an album. So we wanted to put those in as well. And there's a couple of new ones there that people haven't heard. So that was kind of the way of putting those 18 songs together and trying to make, I suppose, all the fans happy. So they have a bit of everything that they've asked for.
Absolutely. And I suppose, Finbar, when you're taking some of these songs, you have to do your thing with them. Is it difficult to find a new track sometimes for these songs?
Well, I think we've established our sound at this stage, which is a good thing, because I think every band should have a distinctive sound so that when you hear it on the radio that you can say, yeah, exactly that's who it is. It's easier when you have established sound to pick a song and you can kind of mould it to your own sound, yeah, really. One of the songs as well that we've never recorded, never performed before was Four Green Fields, actually. It's a brand new one.
Great song, yeah.
So, yeah, we thought we're going to pull out all the stops for the 10-year anniversary and do the big hitters, you know.
Very good indeed. And that has a particular resonance with you. It was Tommy Makem's
Tommy Makem actually wrote that song. A lot of people think it's in the public domain. It's an old song. He actually wrote that song in 1967 while he was on a car journey. From, I think it was from Newry to Derry or something like that, he wrote it on the way.
Yeah, and every young ballet group in Scorn and Oak murdered it.
Oh yeah, of course. It's been well butchered at this stage, so hopefully we did it justice, you know.
You did, I'm sure you did indeed, but it's a fantastic song. And
it's a powerful song, and I think it resonates with a lot of people as well.
And what in terms of the material that you're doing then, George, are you...
I've only had one tour with the lads, and obviously we're promoting the record of the stuff that they've done over the 10 years. So I've just mostly been looking to kind of fall in with them and play along and see what suits. But they've been kind enough to kind of shine the light on me a few times and let me sing. So I've been singing songs that people I suppose expect from me as well to try and stay in the same ilk. I mean, people like to hear me sing Raglan Road, and
of course,
I recorded the start of the County Down with the Dubliners. So that's been two of the songs we've been kind of performing. Also, we've done a Canadian tour, so one of the songs that I recorded on a previous album was a song called The Spring Hill Mining Disaster.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
So they've kind of been the three that I've been doing. But, I mean, we're rehearsing all the time, so hopefully I'm going to be bringing a few more to the table. And I'm looking forward to learning a few more of the lads set as well, because there's a lot there that I probably play that the lads haven't yet played. And there's also a lot there that they play.
The big association for you right from when you started was the whole Luke Kelly thing, and is that something that you still carry on? And that,
I mean, look, it's
impossible to get away from it.
It's a comparison that was drawn about me when I was 17 years of age, you know, and I hold Luke up there as the finest ballad singer of in Ireland, you know. So so to be compared to him was always great, but I'm looking to kind of find my own path, to do my own thing. And now that I've become a member of this fine established band, you know, look, people can say, I've heard people saying that Darren's like Elvis Presley.
Who are you talking about, man?
So as long as them comparisons come in and they're complimentary, then let them keep coming, good. You know.
All right, I love it. The album is called Best of the High Kings Decade. So keep that in mind, will you? Because we have that fantastic prize to give away, the two tickets for the High Kings at the Hazel's Hotel on January the 1st. Meet and greet with the band and some merchandise as well. And all you have to do is tell us the name of the album that we just gave away there on 1800-938-007. That's 1800-938-007. Or you can text on 083-311-3311. Darren, will you do a final track for us? Maybe an Elvis song?
We will do.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I think we should do Mary's Wedding, guys.
That's the worst Elvis you've ever heard.
That's the worst Elvis impersonation he's done ever.
On we go.
All right. Okay, so.
Sound better than ever, guys. Really fantastic altogether. As I say, January 1st, Hayes Hotel. Tickets pretty much on sale,
I would imagine. The whole tour is on sale on thehighkings.com for all details.
Right.
And I believe tickets are selling really, really fast because it's such a big tour. It's the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to get out and see what we're up to now and celebrate the last 10 years and begin the next 10 with us.
Fantastic altogether. And I would imagine, wouldn't it make a fantastic Christmas present?
Absolutely.
If you want to go out there and buy. Anything else we should be mentioning by way of dates relevant to Tipperary?
Yeah, Mooncoin on the 8th of December. And it's actually my first time playing in Mooncoin in over 20
is
years.
It?
Believe it or not, yeah. And it sold out in one day.
Oh, they'll have
so
to be
I couldn't
a high
believe
band
it. It was
bringing
absolutely
you down.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
They just wouldn't let me play there for 20 years after last.
I did my time. I'm allowed back in now. Yeah.
Well, listen, congratulations. I can't believe it's 10 years, but it's been a roller coaster, I would imagine. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thanks very much. Like I said earlier on, thank you for the 10 years of support.
You're welcome.
You know, because it means
absolutely
a lot to us. Thank you.
You're welcome indeed. And welcome aboard, George.
Thank you very much, man. Delighted to be here. Cheers, man. Thank you.
Join the conversation in Tipperary.
contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. You can text on 083-311-3311. Now, the winner of our golden tickets to see the High Kings in Thurles on January the 1st is Tim Ryan from Nina. Well done to you, Tim, and congratulations to you. Trudy, you've got some more texts for me, I know, says she, making her way back into the... the new
yes,
studio.
Yes, I can. I can just, you know, I can do all things at once. You know,
indeed. Omnipotent is that the word?
Best tool. Right. Yeah. Just a couple of texts to look back on. First one in relation to Sinn Féin. Councillor David Doran was in touch and say, Fran, I find it bizarre and bewildering that it's been suggested by yourself or anyone else that our party would tell us what to say to any media outlet or anyone else. I'm a party member for over 20 years and a councillor for 14, and was never told what to say, not what to say, nor would I tolerate that if I ever were. A couple of more bits and pieces there, just in regards to a news story running on Nina and a funeral there recently. A couple of very angry callers in relation to that, agreeing with the issues that have been raised there by Shamie Morris. We will be getting back to that tomorrow. We'll also be looking at more on the ETB, further reaction there as well.
All right, so strong feelings on those subjects. So as you say, we will get back to it tomorrow. Thanks very much indeed, Trudy. Well, we promised you Keith Barry live in studio, and I'm delighted to say that he's here with me. Keith, good morning to you.
How are you? You well?
Good to see you. And of course, one of the reasons you're here is to promote some fantastic gigs that you're doing over the next while. You're heading for the INEC, I think, in Killarney, is that right?
Yeah, the INEC Killarney. I'm doing about 30 gigs all over the country. And yeah, I'm excited to get back on the road. Keith Barry's Magic Madhouse is what I'm calling this one. So it is going to be a bit mad, and there'll be lots of magic in it.
Very good. How will it differ from some of the other stage shows?
Yeah, it's a good question. So far, I've been on the road now, I suppose, since I'm 23. So that's 18 years. So this will be about 16th new live show, if you like. So I make sure that every show is different than the last show. But in the last couple of years, I suppose people have gotten used to me doing the first half as being kind of mentalism and brain hacking, and the second half hypnosis, and so a full hypnosis act in the second half. But I decided to kind of flip it all on its head this time and put magic back in the show. So that's a huge change. I haven't done like magic, as in visual comedy magic, in beyond 10 years now. So that's how it'll differ. My job with this show is to make people laugh their faces off until literally they're crying with the laughing, and then hopefully be fooled really badly as well. So some very strong visual magic in there, all kinds of crazy funny stuff that I kind of want to keep it as a surprise for the audience, because if it describes the payoff, then it's like telling the end of a joke.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you did start off with that very close-up magic, didn't you, all those years ago?
Yeah, I started when I was just about, actually 5 years of age, from a Paul Daniels magic set, and then I kind of just escalated on from there. And then I started doing hypnosis and brain hacking from when I was about 14. But yeah, I did close-up magic for a long time.
Yeah.
I started off in the Wine Vault restaurant when I was 14 down in Waterford there, going from table to table when people were in between their courses and entertaining them with close-up magic. And then, as I said, it just snowballed on from there. But again, with the show, I haven't done an escape in one of my shows in probably six or 7 years. So I'm doing this crazy escape, probably foolishly so, let me add, because escapology is a whole other genre, again,
of course it is,
magic, and I've got to be physically fit for it. With this particular escape, I took inspiration from one of the horror movies, Saw 5, and I saw this guy nearly drowning in that, and I thought, oh, that'd be a good idea to get me to do that. So I'm getting this metal straitjacket made, which I'm going to give to the audience to be examined, and because I like this stuff to be done under test conditions. I don't like it when the audience can't get their hands on this stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So they'll get all the padlocks, they'll get the straitjacket to examine everything. I might even let them get into the straitjacket and padlock themselves in and see can they get out for fun. During halftime, that'll all happen. But then, ultimately, I get locked in this metal straitjacket, and of course, to add to the drama, I've got this bulletproof Perspex box made that's going to go down over my head. That'll get padlocked to the metal straitjacket, and then we fill that with water, and then I've got to escape and to get that box off my head so that I don't pass out, drown, or something else happen.
Sure, what else would you be doing?
I know, and here's the thing, people wonder, can this stuff go wrong? Well, you can actually find on YouTube lots of guys, unfortunately there's even one of not my contemporary, but back in the 80s, there's footage there of him dying doing one of these escapes. One of my contemporaries, John Pendragon, had an arrow went through his heart and his lungs, right, as a trick went wrong.
Sure, Houdini himself died in in that.
A lot of people think that, but no.
Did he not?
Houdini was kind of the original bodybuilder, if you like. And as part of his show, he would get the strongest guys in the audience to come up, punch him in the stomach just to show how strong his abs were. But after one of his shows, in the dressing room, two students came backstage and they knew he wasn't prepared and they punched him in the stomach and he had an appendicitis anyway. But they ruptured his appendix by punching him and he died of...
I didn't know that. Yeah, I always thought it was in the course
of... No, it was dramatised in the movies.
So when are you going to do the punch you in the tummy?
Well, I don't have a six pack just yet. I think after Christmas is when the show started. I don't know if I'll have a six pack, but you mentioned the INEC there, but I'm in the Clonmel Park Hotel, which is probably the nearest venue obviously to here, on the 12th of January. So I'm really excited about that.
You're in Carlow, which is close enough to us as well.
Yeah, like as I said, there's dates all over the country pretty much, you know. As I said, the closest one here to be Clonmel Park Hotel on January 12th. And as you mentioned earlier with the High Kings, it's a great Christmas present, even if you don't want to come yourself, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. What about the bigger venues as opposed to the smaller theatre venue? I'm thinking once you're in the places like the INEC, it's huge. Does that affect the show and the magic?
In a good way, yeah. I mean, I love... it's kind of a yin and a yang. I love the intimate shows because you're so close to the audience. But then when there's a larger audience there, you get a larger body of energy there. And I live for performing live. That's what I love beyond everything that I do because, you know... I consult on the Now You See Me movies. You know, I obviously do a lot of my own television, a lot of your Back in the Rooms. Like, we just filmed your Back in the Room for Fox Television over in the States and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're on television and stuff like that, you're always at somebody else's mercy, you know.
Yeah.
There's directors involved and producers. Whereas when I'm on stage, you get to see me and my mind and I'm the boss and I get to do what I want. And if you like it, like, I'm so grateful, you know, that I've survived this long and I'm glad that people enjoy it. Great. And if you don't like it, the responsibility lies on my shoulders. And I'm willing to accept that. But, you know...
You've done all the big TV shows. I mean, the shows that people would kill for. What sort of a... I mean, when you're going on to do that, things could go horribly wrong and ruin your reputation, I suppose.
Absolutely. You know, I had something go wrong. I'm quite nervous about doing an escape in the show because I had an escape go wrong up in the Olympia.
Did you?
A couple of years ago. Yeah. You know, it's going back a while now again. I haven't done an escape since that night because I used to get it was the most difficult escape in our world and it was most famously done by Houdini, and you mentioned Houdini, but it's the 100 foot rope escape, because basically what you do is you give two people 100 foot of rope and they get to tie you any way they want, anaconda style, with 100 foot of rope, and then you have to get out of it. So Houdini used to do it, but then I thought, well, you know, I've got to make it my own and do my own twist on it. So I used to get wrapped by 100 foot of rope and I'd bet the two guys on stage every night, and I'd try and pick the strongest people in the audience to tie me up, and I would bet them, if I can't get out of the rope in less time than it takes you to tie me up, I'll give you 500 euros each. Okay, so then that would be an incentive for them to really, like, tie this thing tight. But then at the end of it, the real twist was they used to grab a roll of cling film and wrap my head in cling film so I couldn't see or breathe as I'm trying to get out of a 100 foot rope. And one night in the Olympia, I kicked over in the chair, and it turns out one of the guys was a sailor, so he's tied all kinds of weird sailing knots, and I kicked over in the chair to try and get a bit of leeway, but I just winded myself, I guess, and I sucked in air, but of course my head was covered in cling film, so I just sucked in a mouthful of cling film and passed out in front of everybody. Now that's why you always put the escape at the end of the show, because I knew one night it might go wrong. And people, of course, again, they just think it's part of the show. He's just doing this for publicity. But it was at the end of the run. I had nothing to publicise. I mean, the run was over. And then, yeah, it was embarrassing.
What happened? You were passed out?
Passed out. And in the Olympia, thankfully, as opposed to anywhere else, they have an iron curtain. So when my manager and the Olympia staff realised I was passed out, they just hit the button and this iron curtain just slowly came down as my manager... Actually, I had an assistant at the time, still great friends with him, but we don't work together anymore, Joe Hoey. And Joe was up, he was the timer, he had a big timer in his hand to count down the time, and he was up in the balcony. He jumped off the balcony onto the stage.
He knew you were in trouble.
I don't know, that's like a 15-foot jump or something. I mean, he could have broken his own legs doing that. But he knew that's how much trouble I was in. So he knew. And everybody just saw the iron curtain come down and people rushing out to me and pulling the cling film off me and waking me up. And
have a vision of it being like the Tommy Cooper ending where he literally was dying.
Well, that's
dying
it. Yeah, people were laughing. Died of a heart attack. Yeah. And I've never seen the footage, but I know that they just literally pulled him off the stage.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I do. For years, I used to do this thing with a spike that I invented back in 2003 for my TV show, where I hide a spike underneath polystyrene cups, and they all get mixed up, and I slam spectators' hands down on the cups, not knowing where the spike is. And I've done it on TV loads of times, but a bunch of magicians try to copy me, and all you need to do is type in "when magic goes wrong," because they didn't know how I was doing it. They were guessing how I was doing it. They got it wrong, so they stabbed their own hands, stabbed spectators' hands. So this stuff can go wrong, but like, I suppose that's the drama of it.
Absolutely,
people are wondering, will I be there the night that Keith Barry drowns? And maybe some people want to see that, so I'm going to see it. Come to the show.
So make your way along to the to the INEC and to the Clonmel Park as well. Would you do some magic for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
Right. What will you do?
So, well, here's an interesting thing. So very often people come up with, I suppose, theories as to how I do some of the stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And most of the time the theories are absolutely wrong. But I kind of like the idea that sometimes people think, because we're all online, we're so online these days, they think that maybe I've profiled you. And obviously, you being the public eye, it'd be actually quite easy to profile you, to figure out your likes, your dislikes, maybe, you know, I don't know, actors that you'd like or singers that you like. So here's what I did. I've written down a whole bunch of famous actors on post-it notes here. Now, we've got about 60 of them here. You can call them out loud as you see them. So the first one there?
Jack Nicholson.
Do you need your glasses, do you?
Yeah,
yes, get them on there. About. Okay.
Jackie Chan.
So these are kind of the most famous ones.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, yeah.
Yeah. Denzel Washington, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Sean Connery.
So if I was asked you to think of your favourite one, I might have found that out online. That's where we're going to use these, to randomise this as much as we possibly can. So here's what we'll do. You're going to hold this face up in your left hand like this, and then you put your other hand on top. So just do that for me now. So there's about 60 in there, just written on post notes. So put it on your left hand, on your left hand.
My left hand.
Okay, good. Okay. Put your hand on top.
Okay.
In a moment, you're going to flip up. With your thumb at the back, you're going to flip up like this, and you'll just stop wherever you want, okay? And that will be your randomly chosen actor for the purposes of the experiment. Don't look down, look at me, put your thumb at the back, okay? And start to flip up, okay? And look down now, look down, okay? Close it up. Okay, good, throw the post pad here, we're not going to use it anymore. Focus on that actor. I may get this wrong, I'm going to be honest with you. I may get it wrong. If I get it wrong, just be honest, okay? I don't know. But I'm going to do some things here. I'm going to get a scissors, and I've got a piece of paper here somewhere as well. There. Okay, I'm going to cut into this piece of paper. All I want you to do is think of this actor or actress, focus on them. Focus on whether it's a man or woman, first of all. This is a man, yes? Be honest.
It is.
Okay, good. Focus on whether he has dark hair or light hair. Okay, I'm cutting into this piece of paper for people who can't see. I know we're videoing this, we'll put it up later. But I'm cutting into a piece of paper. This is just to distract you, by the way, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you already gave it away that this person, without me even asking too much, has very dark hair. Is that correct?
It is.
Yeah, good.
Okay. How did I give that away?
Okay, I'm not going to tell you. Okay, good. But you're talking to me right now. You're just talking without speaking. That's what's happening right now. This is... and this is interesting, yeah. You see him as a younger generation male actor, but he's no longer young. Does that kind of make sense to you?
Mm.
Be honest?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, you gave that away. Okay, focus now on, focus on the type of actor that he'd be, like, in general. Mm. So focus on whether he would be, like, an, action or comedy or whatever it is. Okay, don't say anything out loud. Keep cutting here. I just saw when I said that to you, you went through some of the movies in your mind, and I saw an airplane. Does that make sense to you?
Not really. No.
Oh, interesting. I may have gotten this wrong. Okay, focus on his name and how you would spell his name. Is there a T in the name, in his name?
There certainly is.
There is. Okay. Focus on where the T is in his name. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. You're giving that away now. Good. Don't move a muscle. The camera's on you now. So I'll explain a little bit about this. The camera's on him. You can check this out, I guess, on your Facebook page later on Tip FM. If you look at him, if you look at Fran, the way you're seeing, don't move, there's an O in his name. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, because of the way you're seated, your two hands are clasped together and you're formed the letter O. And this is fantastic. Look at him. Look at it. And you can see this, right? Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to go right now. Are you thinking of, be honest now, just if we get this right. Are you thinking of Tom Cruise?
Yes, I am.
You are?
That's incredible.
No, wait. What's even more incredible is this. You see, there's about 60 of them there. And maybe I could have deciphered who you were thinking of based on your physical reactions to what I said. And that's what I did. What's even more interesting, though, is my subconscious mind was kicking in from the very moment this began, because I was cutting into this piece of paper. You saw it the whole time, but I cut a silhouette out of the piece of paper, and if I just hold it up to my top there, can you tell everybody what that silhouette is of?
It's a silhouette of Tom Cruise. That is just incredible. I mean, that really is incredible.
That's for you.
That's marvelous.
Put
thank
down
you
underneath
so
your
much.
Pillow tonight. You know what? I'll be there tomorrow morning. Tom Cruise.
Oh God, 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 forgive us. Anyway, that's listen. Will you stay with us for a moment?
Yeah, of course.
We,
yeah.
We need to take a break. And Keith is staying with us. If you want to talk to him, by the way, 1800-938-007. You can text on 083-311-3311.
Fishing page. So if you're into fishing, and I know there's a lot of people down this direction who are, Fish in Ireland. You can follow me on Facebook, Fish in Ireland, and I put up all my fishing exploits there. So tonight, I'm kind of tossing a coin around as to whether I'll go to Waterford winter cod fishing tonight. That's the latest thing that we do through the winter, you know?
That's amazing. I'd never have thought of that in a million
That's how
years
I turn off. I need to empty my brain because I'm always, quite often on all the time.
Tell
so I need
me
to
where
off.
The hypnosis is concerned because I'm intrigued. I used to do hypnosis for years and to have it at the level that you have, the practice must have been.
Yeah. Like it took years and years and years. And even in the show that I just finished, which is completely finished now, Hypnomagic, that was a full half of hypnosis. And to get people to go deep enough to really think that they're Conor McGregor and another person to believe that they're Yamashiro Kobe, a Japanese martial artist. You know, it's difficult. I trained under Tony Sidar up in Dublin, so Tony helped me a lot over the years, but primarily self-taught. And as you know, with hypnosis, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah,
so
sure,
generally speaking, the older generation hypnotists are the better hypnotists or hypnotherapists.
They?
Yeah, I believe so, because they've just seen it. It's like, in my opinion, again, it's like a good doctor. I love meeting a 70-year-old doctor because they've seen it all. They've they kind of know what they're doing, you know. I suppose for me, I've done 70 years of hypnosis in the 40 years. I started very young, you know. I started hypnosis when I was 14. So I've been at it a long time now. I suppose strange things can happen under hypnosis
You are so good at it. It's amazing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I love it.
Lovely to have you today. Just to remind people about those dates, it's the 12th of January, isn't it?
The 12th of January, yes, in the Clonmel Park Hotel. Tickets are available again on Ticketmaster and keepbarry.com. And Visual Comedy Magic. It's under 12s, company with an adult. We recommend over 10s. So just because of the nature of the show. But there's nothing rude, nothing too crazy.
No dirty
but it's adult entertainment is
All
what
right.
I would say.
Listen, it's great to see you. Thanks very much indeed, Keith.